Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele. Thanks to Scarecrow, your local kitchen, florist and grocer. Go to scarecrow.co.nz.
Hello Rita, are you there?
Kia ora, how are you?
I'm good. I had a very relaxing weekend and I trust you did.
Yes, I love summer. It's my thing. So I just enjoy being outside and that's a good weekend.
Now we're talking about a somewhat, I actually don't know if this is a controversial topic because we know that domestic cats are bad for the local bird population. How do we manage everyone's love for their cats and also save the local birds?
Yeah, so I guess it's controversial because exactly like you say, like people love their cats, and I don't think anyone, or there's not very many people that have a problem with managing feral populations of cats. But when people are told what to do or regulated around what to do with their cats, it does, their domestic companion to cats, it does become a little bit controversial. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's a massive challenge and something that will probably have to change culturally over time.
Let's be honest, cats are bloodthirsty. They will kill for sport. They will kill anything that they can, you know, like is obviously entertaining for them. Kill from a skink to a sparrow to a bigger local bird like a tui.
Yeah, absolutely. To varying degrees, I think. I used to have a cat and she was the laziest thing. I remember peewalkers used to come down and sort of play around her, like they kind of sort of skitter in the air. It's quite cool to watch, but and she would just look at them and be like, oh, okay, cannot be bothered. And then other cats seem to be more interested in hunting. But I did read something in a great book called, I think it's called The End of Civilization, and it's a book about what would happen if the world just stops, if humans just died and everything else sort of remained the same. And it said that dogs would actually die because they've lost their hunting instinct, whereas cats haven't. They'd survive and they'd actually thrive quite well because they haven't lost that hunting instinct. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think you see it with cats, like playing with moths and stuff at night, you know. So, and that's where this challenge sort of comes from, right? And we've seen in the last week there's just been this sort of there's been pressure to regulate cats for a while, and some areas have done quite well. Wellington has got a couple of bylaws that are quite interesting. So mandatory microchipping cats, and they encourage cats in at night. I think that they've done a really interesting way because they've done it slowly over time, that shifted that culture. And also Zealandia has, I think, brought in a lot of, unique native birds to people's backyards, and I think they're starting to see the benefits of that. And so they can sort of understand the payoff. And then there's some areas like New Plymouth and Whanganui that have limited, like, cats that you can own. You know, only have three in a household. And some other areas that, you know, allow cats, if they're desexed and chipped in certain sort of areas. So there is, like, a few regulations around, but nothing like what we need.
And so in the Tamaki Makaurau, we're three cats in the Tamaki Makaurau, is that right?
What was that, sorry?
Is there just three cats in Auckland? Is that the limit? Or we have, what sort of regulation do we have locally?
That's a good question. I didn't see a bylaw for Auckland, but it might have been updated recently. I know of lots of people that struggle to get some help with out-of-control cat populations. And this is, I think, where we have a sort of... This is where I think the problem lies, is that I think we've got 1.2 million domestic, so companion cats, and 88% of them are desexed. So that's about 41% of households that have a cat in their household. And then we've got a feral...
Hang on. 41% of households have a cat.
Have at least one cat, yeah.
Wow. Holy moly. That's hectic.
Yeah. I mean, I've always thought it's at around half.
Okay. So yeah, surprised me. I thought that's much lower than I expected, to be fair.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I can, if I'm at home and I look out the window, there's a few cats in the neighborhood. Most of the time I would see one of my neighbor's cats cruising around in the garden.
Because much like me, you don't have a cat, so you've got no cat covering its territory. So your neighbor's cat's all hanging out at your house because you've got no cats.
Yeah. Also, killing all the birds at my house. Dead birds everywhere, yes. Thanks for the cat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's a bit of a feel, like, from some that I guess the urban areas are a little bit like they're, like who cares about them? And I think that that's a bit of a shame.
Absolute shame. That, you know, travesty, in fact.
Yeah, that companion animals are kind of like, there's always going to be this kind of...
Oh, well, you thought about that. You mentioned already Zealandia and what the great job they're doing in Wellington, and they're seeing, you know, Tui's return to backyards and all sorts of things, and we're missing out on these opportunities in Auckland because we have too many feline companions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rita, we've had a couple of texts in. One saying, Rita and Johnny, there's an elephant in the room that nobody wants to address. The domestic cat population is directly proportionate to the domestic human population. Who will set the limits on the human population? Question mark.
Okay. And I mean, obviously... You guys have not, is this text to listen to us? I feel like we talk about population management. Enough that I'm surprised I'm not called nasty names. I think that it's insane that we do not have a population strategy in New Zealand. Or maybe we do, it seems to be to get to 10 million people as fast as we can at any cost. Yeah, we seem to be talking about managing all sorts of other species, but not ourselves.
Yes.
I think the reason for that is because it very quickly becomes a conversation about goes the wrong way, and people start talking about, you know.
Well, it goes the wrong way because China tried that with the one child philosophy, right? And then this, unfortunately, we saw them killing females, unfortunately, and a large proportion of those one childs becoming the male population, which is also not right. And so
we're consequences, lucky in New Zealand because our natural population is actually below replacement anyway. So, and it's a tricky one. Like, if we shut the borders, our population would increase. And I think the scary thing is talking about population can quickly become a platform for people that are xenophobic. But I don't think that it needs to be. I think we can talk about having, immigrants come into New Zealand. We just need to talk about how we do that. And each year would probably be a bit different because of our population birth rate would change slightly.
I love how we've swung from cats into human population control.
Your texter has a point. We do much more damage in habitat loss than... I don't know this. Yeah. Actually, I take this back. I can't say that because I don't have any scientific data, but we wipe out swathes of trees. Like, it's ridiculous. And there's no protection for the habitat of these animals, of the birds in New Zealand, really, but frankly, at all. And so that is very, very damaging. And I think that it is absolutely the elephant in the room. But it's not today's topic.
we've also had a you suck. Cats are the only thing keeping many people alive. No shit. I've seen it time and time again, including in my work in mental health addiction.
Oh, 100%. And I think, like I say, there's those people that kind of feel like there's a sacrifice that needs to be made so that people can have some companion animals. Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting discussion. And I think I don't think we should be getting rid of all cats. I think that there is responsible cat ownership, and there's around 50% of countries overseas or locations overseas actually have restrictions on when and where and how your cat can roam, and we don't have any of that here. So you can have a cat and just be a responsible cat owner. They don't
This person's also mentioned that apparently you can train a cat not to kill.
I doubt that.
So
in the history of training animals, the cat's one of the hardest animals to train?
I think you could keep a cat inside a lot more than we do, and then they sort of start kind of getting a bit lazier. There's probably some areas that it would make sense to not have a cat. And I live in one of those areas, and I had a cat for 16 years, and when she died, I missed her greatly, and she absolutely was a source of mental health wellness for me.
Nice.
But I decided
nice
not to replace her because, yeah, I get that same.
Can I just? I'm going to butt in. We've had a great email. I was thinking along this line. Someone's said via the email that cats are low-hanging fruit. We need to focus on possums and stoats. Also ferrets.
Cats are low-hanging fruit. We also need to focus on dogs at some point too, because they are the biggest killer of kiwis in New Zealand. And if you want to protect our kiwi population, the best thing we can do is do something about controlling our dog populations too. So I'm not sure where that... I mean,
The dog one's super tricky because quite often those dogs that are attacking kiwis are farm dogs. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know what our luck will be trying to... Because, you know, yeah, I mean, dogs are a whole nother topic because, again, it's sort of like this issue that we sort of have is that there is a valid argument that there's a job that cats do and dogs do to keep other predators down. And there has been lots of studies that prove that once you take out of a cat out of an ecosystem, that the rats come in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard to disprove that because it's very hard to design a study to disprove it. Not because it's factual, if that makes sense. It's just very hard to create a study that's going, because those studies are always very flawed. Like, have the rats' behaviours changed? Just moved away from where the cats are? Or and also, like, just because you remove the cats doesn't mean that you can't do any trapping or, like, humans can't get involved in pest management. So there's a whole lot of, like, kind of issues that are, wound up in this. And I think the SPCA are the ones that are calling for us to take a leadership role. And the reason that we're in such a unique position, remember, is because our birds have no defences compared to like birds around the world. The way that they've evolved, they just don't have the
same. The way they nest. So, the nesting is the major issue, isn't it? The way they nest.
Yeah, and forage, and some of them don't have the ability to fly. So we've got a whole lot of stuff stacked against us.
So Rita, what are the takeaway points from this beat up on cats and cat ownership?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. One we haven't really touched on, but is that there's three kind of sections for cats or categories. One is your companion cat.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've kind of got feral and stray cats. And I don't think anyone really has a problem with feral cats being kind of trapped and euthanized.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is some people that do, but they're probably in the minority. I think that there's a grey area here of stray cats, which... are an issue, and most of the time the strategy is trap, neuter, release, and that has failed miserably.
Yeah, that's the SPCA's preferred methodology, isn't it? They do trap, they do release, and then they feed, even.
Yeah, I think that they're advocating for that maybe not to be the case now, or at least for us to look at that. And I think that there's lots of arguments out there that perhaps that. Well, we know it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
So that population of stray cats and abandoned cats is increasing. So and there's some things that we can do, like they're calling, like there's an area in Christchurch that's calling for rental agreements to have de-sexing written into their tenancy agreements. And that's actually been born out of a lot of cats being left behind on rental properties.
Yeah, you do hear a lot of that. A lot of
people moving out there and the cats behind. Yeah, absolutely, all the time. And developments, housing developments, areas that don't make sense, having overlays in areas that say no cats, so there's lots of things that we can do, but I guess the biggest one is to sort of shift that culture over time where we go, of course there is a place for some people to have a cat when, there's mental health benefits around it, and they can be responsible cat owners and make sure that cats are inside the bulk of the time and that sort of thing. We don't have to sort of throw the baby out with the bathwater. Mm-hmm. I think we just need to be a bit more sensible about how we're treating companion animals. And then that stray cat, like that bulk of those stray cats, like what are we, like that's I think where we can probably fix some areas as well. And then feral cats, just having some proper money behind them. Did you know that feral cats are not even written into the predator-free 2050 strategy?
Wow, crazy.
As a pest. So, I mean, that in itself is like, okay, cool, guys. Like, maybe that's an idea. Yeah, because where I live in the bush, it's like we had a family of feral cats, and I was trapped about 7 of them and took them down, and they were riddled with feline AIDS. Is that right? I always get that wrong. And so they put them down. They were not tameable, which made life easier. If they were semi-friendly, then that would have probably been a bit more of an ethical, like, difficult decision to make.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's that grey area, I think, and also having the money to trap and euthanize.
Yeah. Okay, Rita, I'm just going to run between. We've got, this is obviously a hot topic. I'm going to bounce between the email. I'm just going to make some crazy statements between email and text. Cats are primarily nocturnal hunters. Do you think they're climbing up trees at night and catching sleeping birds? Yes, I do. Going back to the text machine, dogs have lots of controls on their roaming and cats have none. Also very true. And someone said, I trained a cat not to kill birds. He did take out a few cats and attacked large dogs. My staffie gave him a wide berth. He weighed in at 8 kgs, lived to 19. I ran him over. He slowed. Lol.
Grim.
That's a broad range of feedback there, Johnny, you've shared with us.
Also, shut the pet shops, no breeding, and Marcus Lush is a cat. Yep.
I'm sure someone's named their cat Marcus Lush in New Zealand at some point.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's kind of where we're at, Rita. So I feel like this is something that we can just dig into.
If you're going to have a companion animal like a cat, be a responsible pet owner. 88% of people have
keep
their cats chipped. Keep them inside at night or inside as much as possible.
Mm.
And if you have a dog, don't let it roam in the bush.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The dogs and the roaming in the bush is just...
Well, that's where the Kiwis die. Is people going pig hunting and losing their dog to a pig, don't actually lose their dog to a pig, and they just stays in the bush and kills Kiwis. Anyway.
Yeah.
Long story short.
The dog thing is a tricky one to manage. I mean, cats are tricky as well, but I think even if you did put regulations in place, because they are actually there for dogs.
Hey, wait, this segment was about cats, not dogs. We can do some balance reporting next week and talk about dogs next week.
Okay.
Yeah, the dog is a whole
topic.
Whole different problem. Fantastic, guys.
All right.
Love your work, Rita.
Thank you, Rita.
All right, have a great week.
Bye.
See ya.
Sustaining Alive on 95BFM. Thanks to Scarecrow, your local kitchen, florist and grocer. Go to scarecrow.co.nz.